people get messages, understandings, words from God for the whole people, or sometimes for some part of the people. And so then we learn how Samuel began to understand this. How he, in obedience, every time he heard Shmuel, he got up and ran to his spiritual mentor. Finally, on the third, after the second time, the old man got it and said, "That's the Lord talking to him. He's not just waking up like this." And he taught Samuel what to say. And he said, "Speak, Lord. Avdecha shomea. Your servant is listening." Remember now his name is Shamael, Shmuel. God hears. And now he's saying, "I hear." But as I think I pointed out before, Shema, which means to hear, means to obey, to really listen and obey. "Your servant is ready, Lord." And what we have in the gospel is the same thing. You know, if we ponder this, we see the same reality sort of opening up for us, the inner life of Jesus. Remember yesterday we had the story, the first public act of Jesus in his own hometown was in the synagogue, and a demoniac started to scream. And Jesus cast out the demon. First thing he does in his public life, in according to Mark, because he's going to take on all those forces that hold God's people in bondage one way or the other. And he's going to meet with opposition. The word got around. Obviously, it was in the synagogue. And he went to Peter's house, and there he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now remember, our Lord tells us in John's Gospel, "I don't move a muscle unless I see the Father doing it. I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. Unless I see the Father wants it, I don't do anything." Now that's with a human mind and a human will. Wouldn't it be great to be like that? You know, to be so in love with the Father and so sensitive to the Father that we really know what he wants all the time, and we do it all the time. Now, he's the Son of God, and of course he has a totally pure heart and mind and emotions, but this is a lesson for us. And so, when it was evening, after sunset, Sabbath is over now, they gather at the door. If you've ever been to Capernaum, there's not much left to it, but you can see the little house and these crowded little streets, and you can imagine the whole town, it wasn't a big town, but all coming in. And it says again, he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons. The same conflict again. And then Mark wants us to be in on the secret of all of this. For our sakes, he's teaching us something. Rising very early before dawn. When Mark gives designations of time, they're idiosyncratic. He's saying it was still very dark, literally. It was very dark still, and he got up. And he went off by himself to pray. Now, why would he pray? You see, to have his whole being sensitive to the Father, you know, to the movements of the Holy Spirit, revealing, you see, the will of the Father to his human mind. I don't move a muscle if I don't see the Father doing it. I don't see him. I don't move a muscle. So he's out there communing with the Father, listening to the Father. And whatever the Father wants, that's what he's going to do. You see the lesson in prayer? Little Shmuel learning first to say, Lord, speak, I'm all ears. I'm ready to go. I want to obey you. Your servant is Shomea, is listening. You know, and here's the Son of God. And he's out there, he's going to pray now. Now Simon and those who were with him pursued him and said, everybody's looking for you. You come on back to town, there's a lot to do. And Jesus says, let's go on to the other towns. How does he know that? The Father told him. The Father told him that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come. What a remarkable line. Come from where? Why does he say that? Have I come? Come from where? Come from the Father. I've come to tell the whole world about how great he is and to liberate them from their sins and from their sicknesses and from the attacks of demons, to free them so that they'll know that this is good news, this is really the kingdom. And as Matthew intimates, he knows already he's paying the price for this. You know, he's taking on these people, but one day he'll take on all the sins of the world. Matthew intimates this in two places, chapter 8 and chapter 12, he quotes in one place the servant song to explain this healing ministry. Huh? So he went into their synagogues preaching and driving out demons. You see how Mark is so serious about this, huh? Throughout the whole of Galilee. So what's the lesson for us? Seek the face of the Father all day long. Learn what it means to pray, to pray, to pray all day long. You don't have to get nervous about it. Oh my gosh, I didn't pray. Of course you didn't pray. You're a jerk. Now start now. You know, we're going to forget. We're going to forget. But I can tell you that this is the era when God wants to instruct his people. It probably has never, certainly since our Lord has come, you know, which increases the culpability. There's never been a time of darkness like this. And here's this poor little weak church fighting among themselves. We got Protestants and Catholics. We got Orthodox, you know. We got all to say nothing about the way the Catholics fight with each other and the Orthodox fight with each other. And this poor little, and this is it? This is the force to turn back the power of darkness? Yes. First, we have the sacraments, the power of God every day. But he's inviting us, and you can hear it, huh? Do what I did. Listen to the Father. Make it your thirst all day to listen to the Father. You say that's impossible. Well, now, some of you folks were married. You know, I mean, we were married a few years ago, like 10, 20, 50, 80, whatever. When you first fell in love, how hard was it to keep thinking of your prospective spouse? Well, I got to stop now and think about her. No, you don't. No, you don't. You see? That's the way we should be with the Father. That's the way we should be with the Father. We have a lesson today. And we say, Father, look, please, please, let your blessed Holy Spirit move me. Force me to be obedient. Force me to listen to you. Otherwise, I'm never going to make it. There is a prayer, you know, that way, in our missal. I don't know how they translate it now. And if next time I spot it, I'll point it out to you. Compelle, force, nostras voluntates. And there's a word in there, just like, force our wills. Rebelles, maybe? Maybe it's rebelles. No, compelle voluntates nostris rebelles. I think that's it. Force our rebellious wills to get with it. We give you permission to come and do something so that we'll be alert to you.